Morning. Everybody's got a smile on their face. Things are going well. Had a good year last year. You've been blessed. It's so beautiful to see your smiles. I'm just thrilled to be here this morning. I was thinking as I left home, I'm going, I hope my vehicle just gets me there. It's so cold. But we've been blessed. We're past the horse and buggy stage, and I didn't have to take 2 days or 3 days to travel here to be here with you in this midst. Things have changed, haven't they? We could maybe ask some older folks what they've grown up with. My dad talks about going to see some young ladies on a horseback back in the day. But things have changed a lot, and even in the last 2 years, things have changed a lot, haven't they? But one thing has not changed. John 3:16, that stays. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That wording does not change. Everyone that believes in Jesus Christ and has accepted God's Son shall not perish. Do you have him? Is he in your life? And if he is, what does your life show about it? A hearty welcome to everyone that's come here this morning. I see there's Sunday school students, so we'll say young to old. And though as you get older, I think the older people would echo my words, we don't feel old. Maybe our body feels it, but our mind is still not old. And so, no matter what age we are, a hearty welcome, and thank you for coming to be a part of this fellowship this morning. Let's pray. Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us, for caring, not just for Cal Hebert, not just for my wife and my family, but everyone, the whole world. God, you loved everyone, and you gave your Son. But there's also something that you're requesting, and that is to believe in this Son that you give, and that you have given for the whole world to accept. And then your wrath will not fall upon anyone when they do accept Jesus. But if not, we will perish. Lord God, I pray that as we go through this message this morning, that you will, with your Spirit, guide me as a servant of yours. May my tongue have the coals of your fire laid upon him to speak those things that you want us to be edified in. Bless this morning, whether young or old that have been here or that are here this morning. May we be a blessing to each other. And Lord, we pray this morning for this young lady called Robin, as she was taken to the hospital for appendicitis for surgery, and the parents cannot be there. We pray for that you give peace upon the parents, and that you also be with this daughter of theirs, this young girl, and just give her the peace and help her feel your comfort as you walk with her and are there to give her joy and to feel your nearness as her guide. Be with the doctors and just give them direction as they do surgery on her. Lord, we pray your blessing upon that and upon this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This time I'll ask you for a few songs, please.
Take the red hymn book and turn to page 6. 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer. Number 6.
Tis the blessed hour of prayer, when our hearts slowly bend and we gather Blessed hour of prayer. Blessed hour of prayer. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer when the Savior draws near with a tender compassion.
Shall be showers of blessings. Number four.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now our refreshing, come now. from the surf falling, but for the showers sleep clean.
Thank you. Ever thought of that song? Deeper than what we sang, or the meaning of it? There'll be showers of blessing. But are we longing for those showers? Are we out there pleading for the showers of blessing? Are we wanting something more than just what we have? As I started off with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten twins so that the world could be saved through his twins. You believe that? Something's wrong with that pastor, isn't there? Something's gone a little bit. What happened to him? Where did he learn that there's twins that were born to Mary and Joseph? How many of you are ready to step up, stand up, and get out of here? I tell you, this is Google. Today morning, I want us to help us understand a little bit. Just to start off with, what our children have access to and what the world is teaching our young children. For Christmas, or I should say, it was the Sunday before Christmas, I brought a message. My message was on Joseph and Mary, who they were, what kind of people they were, in Matthew chapter 1, it tells us that Joseph is a just man. A just man. I understood what that meant, but I was just out of curiosity. I wanted to see what Google would have to say what a just man is. So this is what I typed into Google. Meaning of being a just man. Pretty simple question, isn't it? Up come a few different questions that I could click on and see what they have to say, and I'll read a few of them. How old was Jesus when Joseph died? Did Jesus have a wife? How old were Mary and Joseph when Jesus was born? How many children did Mary and Joseph have? Now, to me, the one that I could fairly well answer, not 100% maybe, I'd have to do a little bit more research again, but how many children did Mary and Joseph have? They had more than just Jesus. There was more children. It tells us, I believe there's three names of the boys, his brothers mentioned, and then it said he had some sisters. Okay, I understand that. How old was Jesus when Joseph died? I don't know. Does it say that? I don't know if I've ever read that. Somebody ever has read that? Please help me out. Does Jesus have a wife? That's no-brainer to me. Jesus never had a wife. I know enough about Scripture that he did not have a wife. But then there's another question that came up. And the question that came up goes like this. Did Jesus have a twin? What? To me, again, in our language, the way we speak often, that's a no-brainer to me. Jesus doesn't have a twin. How can I say that Jesus does not have a twin? How do I have grounds for you that Jesus does not have a twin? How can I, challenge this person who wrote this? In Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, let's start at verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother, Jesus' mother it's talking about, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, that means someone who followed the law to a very good degree of his life. Very, very particular. He would be there to do the things that the law required of him. It says he was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, anywhere in these verses, any sign of one or two or three babies? Nothing. There's just something supposed to be conceived in Mary. Now look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, and she, this is talking about Mary, shall bring forth twins. Is that what your Bible says? Does your Bible read twins in there? Mine doesn't. Mine says, and she shall bring forth a son. Not sons, not son and daughter, but a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. One name given, referring to one son. And he shall save his people. It doesn't say, and they shall save their people. It says that he, talking about Jesus, one person, shall save his people from their sins. Now let's go over to Luke. Luke chapter 1. I believe it's in verse 26. Start in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It's the sixth month that John the Baptist is already conceived, already 6 months ago. And in that 6 month, the angel of Gabriel comes to a city of Galilee that's called Nazareth. And this is where Mary lives, I take. It says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, verse 27. Of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And see what verse 28 and on says. And the angel came in, The angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind, what manner of solution this should be. Now, yeah, having this angel coming and saying, thou art highly favored among the women, blessed art thou among the women. What's the meaning behind this? And she does kind of wonder about this, as verse 29 says. But then verse 30 says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. A son. Call Jesus. I'll go back to Google. So if you don't know your Bible, you don't know what it says, you don't maybe even have a Bible, and you find this online, did Jesus have a twin? This is the comment that is written about Jesus having a twin. One of the latest... Take note, one of the latest discoveries is that Jesus had a twin brother. Shocking, isn't it? Believing? I would say, if your children didn't know better, and if you didn't know better, I might be able to convince you, wouldn't I? Let's be honest about it. Again, one of the latest discoveries is that Jesus had a twin brother, also known as the Apostle Thomas. Interesting brother they chose, right? Why not John? Why not Peter? Why Thomas? And then it goes on that even caught my attention more. He goes on and he says, and that it was actually Thomas who was seen after the supposed resurrection and not Christ. So this writer is saying Jesus has a twin brother. His name is Thomas. And the one that was resurrected, that was not Jesus that came out of the grave. They just by so happened to be that Thomas was there. And Thomas must have looked so much like Jesus, identical. I have a twin brother. I'm identical. We get mixed up a lot. I think even some members of this church probably mix us up once in a while. I get that. And so here, people are trying to, the world is trying to say something that is not true. Now, my question to you is, do I know Scripture well enough that I can say this is a lie? Or would I, that's interesting. I did not know that Jesus had a twin. Oh, so Jesus is still dead? He's still in the grave? I think I got you all thinking, don't I? Am I against computers? Am I against your children having access? No. But a thought that comes to my mind is, what do they have access to? And have you taught your child well enough that when they come across something like this, they know the truth? Last year and the year before, the way things have gone, our children and we as adults are in many ways confused, aren't we? Should we take the vaccine? Should we not? Yes, I don't want to talk about COVID, but we are confused because of lies through the media and truth through the media. But is there one thing that you and I know for sure? Is there one thing that you and I have grounds on that we can say this is a lie and there's no doubt in our mind? I read this. I was shocked. I had never, ever come across something like this before. I went up to my wife and I said, Dora, I says, look at this. I don't believe this. And this is what the world gets to see when they want to click and know something about a just man, and they read down a few questions. Did Jesus have a twin? And then to come up believing that Thomas was his twin, and believing that Thomas is the one that stood up on the resurrection day. Jesus was not resurrected. That it was not Christ. I wanted this to be brought to our attention. It caught my attention, and my children know well. They know White Vermont. I have a deep heart and a love for my family. I don't want one of my children-in-law, or my grandchildren to go lost or not have eternal life with Jesus. For Jesus came to save the whole world. And those that believe are going to have everlasting life. I have such a deep heart for my grandchildren. I love them. And I want them also to have eternal life with Jesus. On the 26th of December, We got together as a family with our children and our grandchildren, celebrating gifts, but mostly celebrating Christmas. Together, reading the story of Jesus. And after we were done, our grandchildren always get a little bit excited, rambunctious. They have a lot of energy in them. I asked them to simmer down a little bit, and I shared with them this is what I found on Google. The oldest is 15, 12 grandchildren. The youngest is 3. And the younger ones wouldn't understand it as much, but definitely the older ones do. I shared this with them. And I told them, I have a concern that they are taught the true word. As a grandpa, as a grandma, as a mom, as a dad, are we concerned about our children? When we find things that aren't true, can we take the time to sit down and tell them what is truth? I shared this with them, and I went back to Scripture with what I shared with you. And I told my grandchildren, listen, the Scripture says it's a son and one name given. And it was through one son that life was given to mankind. Forgiveness to the whole world, not through a set of twins. And Jesus did not stay there in that grave. He stood up, he's resurrected, and he is in heaven. Is that the same Jesus you're teaching your children, your grandchildren about? The old year has come, has gone so fast. It seems as I get older, the years just go by so much quicker. We're into the second day already. Yesterday was January 1st. How did that go by so quickly? What opportunity, what chance do I have to share the gospel with others? I don't know how many of you here have jobs. How many of you here have an employer, a boss, or maybe even a supervisor overseeing you as an employee? But as an employee, and this may not refer to everyone, but maybe more so those that have experienced jobs where they come to work and your boss says there is a service call to be done and you need to go to such and such a place to fix this truck to get it on the road or the tractor or maybe other things, maybe equipment of some other sort, but you're sent. But you're sent because someone who can rely on you. Someone who can rely on you. Your boss would not send you out to fix that tractor on that farmer's field. He would not send you out to repair that semi that's stuck on the side of the road. You would not be sent if he knew he could not use you in that situation. But as a boss, and myself having a business, I know who I can rely on when I have a malfunctioning of a control unit. I know I can rely on one certain man in my business to send him. And there's a good chance he'll find that in 5-10 minutes later, he will find what the electronic problem is. He's very wise that way. I know who to send. I do not send one that is completely new, but I use them in a different location. I want to talk about that a little bit in my second part of the message. But before we go on, I want to give us all an opportunity for those that are able to kneel inside of our prayer. But also I have a prayer request here that I'd like to share, which I did use in part of my prayer at the beginning. So it reads as follows. Please pray for John and Suzanne Cron and family. Their daughter, Robin, has appendicitis, and they are planning to do surgery today. But because of restrictions, they cannot be there with her. She is anxious about the surgery, so they would appreciate prayers for peace and comfort, as well as prayers for the doctors and staff caring for her. And so, for those that are able, together with me, let's pray for Robin, for the family, and for anything else that's on our heart. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take our blue book and turn to number 349. I am resolved. Let's all stand.
Just what he
Thank you for leading in that song and singing along. Thank you so much. So, interesting information, the first part. Now I have something that I have a question is, I remember I talked about the first part. Can your boss rely on you? And does your boss rely on you and that's why he sends you to a certain call, to a certain job, to help in certain situations? There's a boss of ours. We could all refer to him as that way, an employer of ours. If we've accepted the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father, God the Father, he is our employer. He is the one that gives us information and direction what to do. But this man called Jesus has been on earth, been born here, been raised here on earth, has died on earth, has been resurrected here on earth, has gone to heaven to prepare a place. There's lots of words that Jesus left behind, lots of messages that he has given to the writers to share that we can read today. One of them I want to share is today morning, or a few of them. One is out of Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, speak about 10 women. There's 10 women that know they're waiting for this bridegroom that's going to come. There's a wedding. They're waiting for this man to come, and it's taking a while. It's taking time, and they have their lamps. They each have their own lamp. And it gets to the point, they're tired. It's just taking too long, and they're falling asleep. It tells us in verse 5, Matthew 25, verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Have you waited the whole year for Jesus to come? Have you and I slumbered and slept during this year? Or did you and I take the time and share truth with our children? Today, I want to speak a little bit strongly, mostly to us as husbands or fathers. If I look back into my years of being a father of 4 children, I have failed. And this is something you can answer for yourself. Have you failed? I look back and I say, did I do what Scripture wanted me to do? Did I take enough leadership in the home? Was I willing when I heard something from my children? And was I well enough equipped with God's word? Was my lamp full enough that when the time was there for me to share the word of God, that I could say truth, teach truth to my children? Or was I one that started to fall asleep, started to become slumbered, tired, and finally slept? I'll improve my Christian walk next year. This year is almost over. I know I've failed, but I'm going to make a new resolution for January 1st, 2022, and I'm going to be a better dad. I stopped making resolutions. How about you? I failed far too many times on the resolutions I made. I'd rather make that during the year instead of for January 1st. Have we come to the point where we're not tried enough that we slumber and we fall asleep in our Christian walk? Have we as fathers come to the point that when we sit down at the table, and I'm not opposed when you women lead in prayer, please don't misunderstand me, but is your home a home where it's always the wife, or generally the wife, the mother, leading in prayer, teaching your child prayers? Or are we as men? Stepping up and not falling asleep and leading our children in prayer at the table. I had a good dad. I'm not here to run my dad down. Dad taught us Segne Vater, diese Speise at the table. And I can I can hardly remember going to sleep and not seeing Dad at my bedroom door listening to me saying a prayer before I would go to sleep. My dad was in my bedroom when I said my prayers before I went to sleep. I failed. My dad taught me. Many times, my wife went by herself to our children's rooms and prayer with them. Believe it or not, I failed. Oh, the wife will do that. She'll take care of it. I have slumbered and at times fallen asleep. But I expect that when Jesus is going to return, he will just take me home. I'm ready to go. This story tells us, this parable that Jesus has here, he tells us that it doesn't make a difference. It's referring to all 10 falling asleep. And at midnight, verse 6 says, there was a cry, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And these virgins, they get up, and they trim their lamps, and what I understand they're doing is they're cranking up the light. They've kind of dimmed it down just so that they would have enough oil. And when this bridegroom comes, they crank it up, and now they just get a brighter light. But five of those, their lamps had run out of oil, and they're asking someone else for oil. Do we have times in our life that we come to a point? Our children are now teenagers. Our children are now of the age of driving. And we have not spent time giving them the Word of God. And now all of a sudden we are in a trap. We're in a spot where, oh, we need to help them. And we try to crank up our light, but there's no oil left in there. We try to now lead in that spiritual leadership, but there's nothing in there. Then we want to quickly run and get answers so we can guide them. I have failed in many areas, not knowing enough about Scripture, that when the children came, when they became teenagers, my children have given me way more challenging questions than I did to my parents. Do you agree with me? I think our children today want deeper answers. And as parents, as dad, as father, do I know enough Scripture? Is my lamp filled with oil daily? Am I making sure it gets filled before I lay down to sleep? Or do I now I need an answer, so I'm going to phone the pastor, and maybe he'll help me out. Or maybe my next-door neighbor, he knows the Scripture quite well, maybe he can help me out. But during this time, it's too late. Our children don't get an answer from us, so they have found someone else. And who is that? Is that maybe Google? They searched the answer for themselves. Oh, Jesus has a twin. Really? I didn't know that. How many of us would like to say as parents, if only we could change those pages back and start all over again? If only. I think pretty well 100% of us would say we would love to do it over, but we do it different the next time. We can't change the past. We can't. We can't change 2021. That's behind us. And Luke, can't remember which chapter, but the one that has the most verses, it has verse 62. Jesus says, no man that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. If I want to look back at the failures I made in my life, I'm not fit for what's ahead of me, because I'm just going to keep battling with those. Do I have things in my past that I have done wrong? Yes, I have. Have there been things the way I've treated my boss in the past that I regret? Yes, I do. That still bothers me today. That's still my thorn in my flesh today, even though I know that my boss has forgave me. It may surprise you, but many times I would show up late to work. And I'm not talking 15 minutes, I'm talking an hour. I may shock you, but that's the truth. I may have looked like a good Sunday school teacher, but I sure didn't know how to show up to work on time. I've talked to them. I've asked them numerous times to forgive me, and they already told me a few times, we don't hold that against you. But that's a thorn that I have. Now how am I going to teach my children? They knew Dad didn't always stand up and get to work on time. What have I been of an example? How has my light shone for them? But I tell my son, you better be at work on time. But I didn't have to. Many times I felt like a fool. And even to speak about it today, I feel like a fool. But when times are right, oh, now I want to get up, now I want to be trimmed, now I'm ready, I'm going to guide these people, I'm going to guide those Sunday school students, I'm going to guide those young adults and youth in church. Or maybe even the congregation. Has my oil gone out? Am I filled? Am I ready to meet this Jesus being filled with God's word? Is my lamp, my oil that is in that lamp, always being filled to be ready at all times when I need to crank that light up, that I can crank it up to shine for Jesus? You go further down in that chapter, you find a parable that Jesus uses about a man that is on a journey. Verse 14 and on, Matthew 25, verse 14 and on. This man has some employees, and he gives them talents. The one he gives 5 talents, the other one 2 talents, the other one 1 talent. And he goes on his journey, and he's relying on them that they're going to take care of this money that he gave them to use it wisely to build his business. And when he comes back, he finds that the one that has done 5 talents, he's done well, and he gives them him. He's doubled it to be 10, and the other one that had 2, he doubled it to 4. But the one that had 1 went and buried it. He was discouraged with him, upset with him. And he took that 1 talent away and gave it to the one that had 10 talents. I don't know. I mean, this is a parable. But just try to put yourself in this as if this was actually a true story. What was that last one thinking, the third one? He got something to use, and he went to bury it. Did he not slumber and fall asleep? I'll just use him as a father. He had one gift, and he did not use that to show it to his children. It was all about himself. When we read this parable, let's take note what Jesus is trying to imply here. He is applying when he has gone away as Jesus, being that boss, he's referring actually himself in this story. Himself leaving from this earth and putting us as fathers, husbands, as mothers, as wives, as his servants to do something what he's given us. And what does he have for us? Maybe the one of you, it is at home, teaching your child, standing by his door when he's praying, teaching him the Lord's Prayer when they go to sleep, as a father. Or maybe it is your position as a Sunday school student's teacher, having the two talents. Or maybe a different position. What do I do with what I have? Do I bury that? Or do I share it? He refers to the one that has taken his five talents and doubled them. He refers to him in verse 21. He says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and useless servant. Caught your attention, didn't I? He's not a useless servant. Not to God, not to Jesus. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What does God want from you, me? To be faithful to our calling. He goes on to the second one that had the two talents. Verse 23, he refers to in the same way, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Each one of us, whether we have one talent, two talents, or five talents, let's use it. We will all be referred to the same way. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Whether we use the one talent or five talents, that doesn't matter to God. All Jesus is asking in this parable is, do something with what you have until I come again, until I come and take you home. So what is that we can do? Teach our children what? Who Jesus is. And that Jesus does not have a twin. And that Jesus is resurrected. He was the one that resurrected from the grave, and not Thomas. What's the other thing we can teach them? What's the other thing we can teach our children? How to walk. How did we walk this last year? Do we have our toddlers following us because dad's footsteps are going to lead in a nice dry area without getting stuck? Or are we taking him down into the ditch, into the mud, getting stuck with their rubber boots and losing them as they step out of them? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, 1 John 2, verse 6, John writes it this way, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And he's referring to Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him, if I say that I am abiding in Jesus Christ, ought himself also so to walk. I also need to walk even as he, who is Jesus, walked. I need to be a follower. I need to be that example. I know there's a saying, don't do as I do, but do as I tell you. It's time we change that saying. Do as I do, and also do as I tell you. We need to be that example. We need to be that faithful servant for God. Have I been that faithful servant? Have I been that example that Christ wanted me to be this last year? I have failed. So what am I going to do? Try harder or give up? Or maybe say, I've got time. Jesus is on his journey. He's not coming back yet, so I'm just going to fall asleep, and I know my lamp is burning there lightly. And, you know, if I get a chance, I'll fill it up again. I'll go to church yet once more. I'll open my Bible at home once I get a chance. Or will we wait to the last minute and Jesus is going to come and say, oh, now we're going to crank up that light. Now we're going to be an example to everybody around us. But we're not. And we lost that. Let's not wait that long. Maybe today morning you're like, yes, I want to change. And that would be great to hear. If there's something that you need to change, yes, do. But maybe you'll walk home from here and you're going to say, how do I do that? How will I fulfill this? Maybe I can do it for a day or a week, but how can I do this to keep going on? Find someone that is strong in their faith and ask them to hold you accountable. That helps. So as fathers, what do we know about Scripture? John 3:16. That God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Is that where we stop? Or are we now that branch, according to John chapter 15, are we that branch that is part of the vine that is bringing forth fruit? And maybe as Jesus refers to that in John 15, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him bringeth forth much fruit. And then he refers to how God comes and prunes those branches, takes those leaves out, as I said. Maybe today God is saying, there's leaves in your life that are in the way so that you cannot bear fruit. I need some more fruit off of your tree this next year. Are you, as a father, are you willing to have God trim your branch so you can bring forth the fruit for your children, your offsprings? There's a seed in that fruit. Are we allowing God to trim out our lives, letting go of maybe some of the addictions that we have in our life? So our children can look at us and say, I remember the time my dad changed. I remember roughly the time when my dad changed. My dad was a drinker. I was roughly 8 or 10 years old when he quit. I'm very thankful that my dad taught me what he taught me. He's not here with me anymore. He passed away April of 2021. And I believe that Dad prayed many a prayer for us as children and as grandchildren and great-grandchildren for them. What's required of you and me? According to these examples, to be a faithful servant. A servant is not one that sits and does nothing. A servant works. And to be faithful is to do those things that God wants us to do. But mostly I want to say today morning, men, let's start in our homes. Let's be the example to our children. God gave his son not just for you to have eternal life. God gave his son so your sons and daughters could also have eternal life. And we need to teach them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning in the closing of the message, I know there's a lot more that I could share today. As I look at the parables that Jesus spoke about, there's so many of them that have been shared in Scripture. They are so meaningful and so deep. And then it refers to them that if they are not a good, faithful servant, that you, Jesus, using that example, cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. And what will be there? Jesus says there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A dark place, a lonely place, an eternal place of punishment, an unprofitable servant. Lord, help us. Lord, don't withdraw your spirit. Don't withtake your spirit as you did from Saul. But Lord, give us a deeper and stronger spirit of yours to grow with us, in us husbands, us as fathers, to lead the way we should lead, so that you could look down on us and say, thou good and faithful servant, I have put you in charge of one talent, and we could maybe say one child, two children, or five children. And Lord, you're coming again. You're coming again. Are our lamps filled with oil? Even though at times we feel like we're tired, we're waiting. Lord, I pray that our lamps just will stay full and that we will always be ready to meet this Jesus that's coming again. Thank you for everyone's coming here, Lord. You've sent them here. They've been a blessing to me to be here in this presence, but mostly to you. But I thank you for them to have a willingness to come. But I pray, Lord, that you be with them, and you would guide them, you would keep them, you make your light shine upon them, and Lord, that they be glorious for you. In Jesus' name, amen. This time I have a member of acceptance here to read for you, and then follow with accepting him. The member to be accepted, his name is Richard Peters. He is from Winkler area, and he has been recommended by Reverend Jake Hyde. And so what I'd like to ask you, Richard, to please rise for a few questions. Do you confess to be born again, believer, and have you been baptized upon confession of your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Please answer. Do you have love for the Word of God? And I honestly ask this question, do you have a love? I think so many times when we read these questions, they kind of get asked and then just answer. But I ask you this deeply, Richard. Do you have a love for the Word of God and believe it to be the absolute truth? Please answer. Do you, by the grace of God, commit yourself to serve in love and to live in peace and harmony in the Church of Jesus Christ, please answer. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." I want to just share a verse back from that. You know, Paul says there is no other foundation than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that is who we build upon. But the verse before that, Paul uses these words kind of, and he says, "I have laid the foundation, but be careful how you build upon it." And so I want to say to you, Richard, this morning and to the congregation, this morning I have laid a foundation. I have taught you today morning. I've spoken to you about the Word of God. But be careful how you build upon what I've taught you, but rather take the Word of God and build upon Jesus Christ. This time I will come and accept you as a member. So I'd ask you to continue to pray for Richard and for his fiancée. I understand their intended of marriage is coming. And so may God bless you as you go into this. And always be aware, you may be having plans for your wedding, but they don't always turn out exactly the way you want them. Yeah, it happens. On our wedding day, we had plans. 1:30, our wedding was going to start. We were 10 minutes late. The pastor thought we had given up. We didn't want to get married. Yeah. Anyhow, and we drove 80 miles an hour to church, believe it or not. We were late. Yeah, that's an experience of a different experience. But there's things in life that happened. And, you know, just to share quickly, my very first wedding that I officiated, I had the wedding was supposed to be on a Saturday, and on a Wednesday, the bride comes over and she shared some information that I needed yet for the paperwork. And so she left in good spirits. And it was just hours later, I don't know, 2-3 hours later, I get a phone call from her. And she's laughing, she's crying. She's laughing and crying, trying to get through what she's trying to tell me. And then finally she says, "You know what I did? I took my white dress and I put it on a burgundy couch and I ironed it." Oh, I get a lot of mothers go, "Oh, yeah, her dress turned out burgundy." This was on a Wednesday. What do I do? And so she went and shopped a new dress. A week before that, they had their best men and bridesmaid. The best man broke his leg, so they chose a different best man or a different couple to be the best man. So things do change. I'm not saying this to scare you, but it's just beware. God has his ways and trust him. If there's a change, we told our children the same. Be ready for some changes. And I think every last one of our children had some changes. They had to make some changes because God saw it better fit in a different way. And so I just want to share that with you. Blessings and blessings as you are a member of this church, that you can be a blessing to others. Thank you. And so at this time, I want to give you all an opportunity to pray for Richard and also for them as they attend for their marriage. But I also want you to pray for one another. Let's uphold each other. Me too. Keep me in your prayers just as well as leaders of the church, that we lead in a way that God is fit, that he can be smiling about, we could say. And so for those that are able, together with me, let's kneel in a silent word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take your blue hymn book and turn to number 268, Revive Us Again.
Brother Calvin, for sharing this morning and bringing it to our attention. And yes, indeed, you got our attention this morning that we can't look for answers on the internet. We can't believe everything that's out there. We have to prove it. And the best way of proving things is looking for it in the Bible. Two announcements. This coming Thursday, January 6th, Epiphany, there will be one service at 10 o'clock in the English language. Also, next Sunday, Sunday school will be resuming, so the children will be going back to Sunday school. Thank you.
Thank you. Sunday school students, are you ready to go back to Sunday school? Teachers, are you ready for them to come back? Let's pray for the teachers. Heavenly Father, these teachers have a great obligation. They have a great opportunity. Lord, I know that there will be some that only receive two talents, and some will receive three, and some five. They all have different gifts, different abilities to teach. But Lord, today morning, we pray earnestly for these teachers. When they feel this talent that has come upon them, that they will not bury it, but they will multiply it, that they will use the gift that they have and to share it with those children. And I pray, Lord, that they will not just let their lamps die out and just go empty, but they will fill them as needed, opening up your word called the scripture, called the Bible. And Lord, may their lamps be filled up that when there are times that they sit there and they have questions from these children, that they can just crank up that little knob to brighten their light, because there's fuel inside of them called you. God, fuel them and let their light shine ever brighter than it has. I pray for the blessing upon them as they teach these young children. God, shower them with your blessings. And so this morning, Lord, my prayer is for them. This morning, as we have built ourselves up in the most holy faith, as Jude writes, we've been praying in the Holy Ghost. Lord, help them to keep themselves in the love of you. And when there's an opportunity that they show mercy to those people out there, and show them and direct them to where our mercy actually comes from, and that's Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know that this year, maybe there'll be times for these Sunday school teachers, or even we in general, there's times that we have to show compassion. Help us to show compassion so we can make a difference. And help us to save those with fear, the ones that are going to hell. Being there, willing to pull them out of that fire. Help us with that, Lord. And so this morning, God, I say thank you for everyone that's come here. I pray that they will walk out of here being blessed, and with that filling of their lamps, that they will be willing to shine for the world. And so in closing, Lord, I pray this. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, that's you, God, and to present us faultless before the presence of your glory, that through Jesus Christ, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, to you be glory. You are the majesty. You are the one that gives the dominion power, both now and ever. Thank you for that, God. Amen. And so I want to say thank you for everyone that has come. And as we leave from here, let's leave with our lights shining for the world. Thank you. You may go, but go in the peace of the Lord.